Where's My Happy Ending? Happily Ever After and How the Heck to Get There, written and read
by Matt Farquharson
and Anna Whitehouse.
This book is for all the people wondering what's next.
An important note. We wrote this book together, but separately. We agreed 9 topics and the people we might speak to, and then we sat side by side, interviewing, researching, tapping away, but agreeing not to show each other our words. We agreed to include our truest thoughts, but to share them with the page rather than each other. We did this to force ourselves to be honest. Everyone has thoughts that they keep from their loved ones, and we felt that if we collaborated too closely, we might sanitize those thoughts too much. No partner has ever answered the question, "Darling, how do I look?" with complete honesty, after all. Our chapters went over to Carol, our editor, who sent back notes, and then, before we started chapter 10, we read what each other had written. Some names and minor details have been changed at the request of interviewees. Introduction. Matt. I met a girl and fell in love. She was 24 and I was 29, and within hours of meeting her, I wanted to grow old with her. I was like a cat watching the red dot of a laser pen, or a toddler when someone's slicing cake. I found her funny and smart, and I wanted to live with her in a small flat with big bookshelves where we could drink wine and make nice dinners. We had a few years of living abroad and being together. We made our nests and did our jobs and had friends and meals and miscarriages. And after a few years, we had our first daughter. Those first days of parenthood were a combination of delirious happiness, the sensation that my heart had expanded to make room for someone new, and absolute boredom. The slow realization that this someone was not that different to an elderly and incontinent dachshund. She was a loaf-sized bundle that I would feed, cuddle, change, and move from room to room over the course of a day, but was so blind and bewildered that she seemed to have no more connection to me than she would an IKEA hat stand. In the giddy come-down after her arrival, something struck me, and it wasn't just her wildly twitching feet. I realised that we might have another one of these, but after that, the next big life moment might well be cancer or divorce or retirement. I had finished the grown-ups list and made all the big decisions. The next 40 years would be left living with those decisions until I stopped living entirely. I put these thoughts down to a lack of sleep and added extra sugar to my vending machine hot chocolate. Then we had a second daughter, and all of a sudden it's 12 years after our first date and I have developed passive-aggressive snark about footwear storage, kicking shoes about the bedroom floor because I'm always tripping over them. At weekends I hide from my wife and offspring in the toilet, reading the sports pages on my phone. For this is how it tends to go. You're born, you grow up, and you get educated. You start work, probably get married, and maybe breed. But then what? All of a sudden, an aching chasm opens up. Decades of how did I get here, and is this the right place to be? In the old cliché, this would be time for a midlife crisis. Perhaps a fling with an intern who has married man on her bucket list, or developing an interest in motorbikes or cross-dressing. But I barely have time to flirt with my wife, let alone a young substitute. I still don't have a driving license, and I haven't got the hips for a cocktail frock. So what, I wondered, do people do now? But then I realised I'd been wondering that since I earned my first pay packet at 13, delivering papers for News and Chews on the high road. It's a question I asked myself on the day I left home, and when I got my first job, and all through half a decade of drunken flat shares. I'd been wondering it most of my life. So I decided to ask someone. I went to Mount Athos to see if monks were happier without women in their lives. I went to a free love eco-village to see if humping like rabbits makes you happy or just very tired. This was a theoretical test rather than a practical. I spoke to people who never wanted kids and to people who had loads of them. I spoke to porn makers and feminist academics, to neurologists and romance novelists. I even asked my mum. And the question was always the same. Where is the happy ending, and what do you do once you get there? This is what I found.